One, two, three. Darling companion, come on and give me understanding, and let me be your champion, the hand to warm your pretty hand in. Darling companion, now you know you'll never be abandoned. Love will always light our land, and I can depend on you.
My name is Kate Myers, and I have been working with and for pets for over 45 years. I started when I was 23, working at an animal shelter, and then moved on to bigger and better things. And finally, I have become a pet nanny, which I love. I have had several clients who have had problems with puppies and dogs that have come from rescues. Now, rescues are sort of a new thing in the pet world. It's only been in the last 5 to 10 years that they've sprung up. Most rescues previous to that were breed rescues, where people with an affinity for a breed would take in dogs to rescue and place in adoptions. Now, many of the puppies and dogs that they are adopting out from rescues are from high euthanasia shelters, sometimes from dog auctions, and sometimes even dogs from puppy mills. So given that, there may be several issues that people are having with their new puppy or their new dog. So today, my guest is Chrissy Messick. She is a highly educated and experienced dog trainer in Boulder, Colorado. And we're going to talk a little bit about what to expect if you get a puppy or dog from a rescue. And here's some stories of things that she's gone through that you may be able to avoid. Okay, hi, Chrissy.
Hello.
Hi. Good to see you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Let's see. I have been living in the Boulder, Colorado area for about, since 2008. So for a while now. And my first career was in sports medicine. So I did that for about 20 years. And then I started volunteering at the Humane Society in the local area. And I started working in the behavior modification department, which they are lucky enough to have there. And I just got really interested in dog training and behavior and just everything related to that. So I got certified about 4 years ago, and I'm currently going through the Academy for Dog Trainers program. I'm halfway through that, which is a very rigorous training and behavior program as well. So I've been working with clients privately, and I would say most of them are rescues. The dogs, maybe the human too.
We're all rescued in some way or another.
So,
That's great. So that's the Humane Society of the Boulder Valley that has those programs?
Yeah.
Okay. And you won an Olympic gold medal earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, when I was in sports medicine, I worked with athletes, and I worked at the 2000 Olympic Summer Games with women's soccer. We won a silver medal there, and then I worked at the 2004 Olympic Summer Games with women's basketball, and we won a gold medal there.
That's pretty exciting. So you do people, you know people as well as you know dogs, or at least partially as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are hard.
And it's mostly actually training the humans when I'm working with the dogs. So,
That's encouraging, because people can learn. And if they, you know, I've worked with you several times, and if the people do the right thing and pay attention, then the outcomes with dogs are usually the same. So tell me a little bit about your contact with the dogs that you train, and what has happened when they have come out of a rescue situation.
So some of them, I mean, a lot of them, you know, I get calls from people who have just rescued a dog from, you know, certain rescues and stuff. And typically the dogs start out like the first month, it's like a dream dog, you know, they're like the best behaved dog, but what's actually happening is they're just really shut down from all the trauma of being in the rescue, the transport from Texas or wherever they're coming from. And so the first, you know, month is typically a honeymoon month. And so the dog starts to get more comfortable, and then their true personality comes out. And so, you know, people contact me a lot for dogs that are fearful. And there's something called, you know, fear aggression, where there's two ways they can show fear: by running away or by going toward the thing that's scary to them. So I'm typically working with dogs that just, you know, are so, the world is turned upside down, and they just, you know, it's like a big scary world. And so they're pretty fearful, or some of the dogs have never had any basic manners training. And so we just got to work on some of that basic stuff. And some dogs are fearful of other dogs and other humans. And so just working a lot to help the dog feel safe and comfortable in their environment, and then slowly opening up their world.
Is there anything that people can do before they adopt an animal from a rescue? Things to look for in the rescue, how they treat the dogs, where they're coming from, all of those things. Can people research that?
Yeah. So the first thing you want to do is actually look at your lifestyle. So as the human, really have awareness of, okay, do I have the time and commitment to bring a dog into our home? That's the first thing you want to do.
And how much time does a puppy take?
A puppy, it just depends on the dog. Puppies take a lot of time. It's like having a child in your home. But looking at your lifestyle, like, what kind of energy level, you know, do you want the dog to have? You know, study learning the breeds. A lot of dogs from rescues are mutts, they're mixed, so you can't really know, but you can get an idea of what kind of breed they are, and that will tell you a lot about their personality and their energy levels. So really knowing that, you know, are you going to travel a lot? What age do you want? Do you want a puppy or do you want a senior dog? You know, and just what are your expectations as a human? You know, a lot of times people will bring a dog into their house with all these expectations that we're going to go hang out, you know, at the local restaurants and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes you get a dog in your house and that's not the dog that you get. And so it's really having flexible expectations.
I think that is a really major thing, that you're there for the dog. The dog is not there for you.
Yeah. And both, you know, like.
Well, and it can become a bonded relationship. Right. But from your perspective, you should give everything that you can to a new dog. That's been my experience.
Yeah. If you bring a dog into your home, you make the time and you make it work, you know. And sometimes that doesn't happen for unexpected reasons, but, you know, just doing the right thing for the dog is the best thing you can do. Things that you can look for when going to a rescue is making sure the dogs are clean and healthy, that you can go in and look at the space that they're staying. The staff there is knowledgeable about what's going on with the dog. If they have any, you know, what their history is, you know, any behavior issues, any medical issues. The rescue is meeting the needs of the dog, like the psychological needs and physical needs of the dog. And there are some rescues, they're just doing the best they can with the resources they have. So there are some rescues that, you know, are pretty lucky with the resources they have, so they're able to do a lot more. And there's some rescues that are just doing the best they can, but they still are taking, you know, the best care of the dog that they can.
Well, I'm having an experience right now. My landlord who lives upstairs has just gotten an 8-week-old puppy from a rescue. So I'm asking you for other people, but also for myself, because I know I'm going to be in touch with this dog. Is there anything you can do during the first month where you're going through that honeymoon period to sort of ease the dog into becoming who he or she is?
Yeah, I'm just actually emailing a new client today. They're getting a 8-week-old puppy, rescue puppy, and it's literally a puppy. And so the most important thing you can do is you don't need to worry about formal training right away. The most important thing you can do is start to establish a relationship and build that trust. So that means creating a routine that's very consistent. So, you know, taking the dog out for their walk in a very quiet area, you know, keeping things really calm and quiet and not expecting to just go out and go to the dog park with 50 other dogs. So just really creating a consistent, calm and quiet routine, you know. So physical activity, mental stimulation, like playing or puzzle toys, something like that to help the dog just decompress and give them their space. You know, don't be hovering over them all the time. Just give them a space where they can go and have their quiet little rest, create a safe place for them. And then the things, you know, if they're not potty trained, really work on potty training, crate training so they have that safe space. And just socialization in a very, when people think of socialization, they think of just taking them out into the middle of everything and exposing them to everything. Socialization for trainers means to expose them, you know, from a distance in a very calm place and just creating positive associations with that, you know? So just doing it very gradually, not flooding them.
I think that's a great idea. And since you have that 1 month honeymoon period or about, you know, whatever it ends up being, you have an opportunity to make the puppy a better puppy. And then you can start the other phases of training. I've seen people who want their puppies to, you know, lie down, sit, and then they punish them if they don't do the right thing. One of the things we're dealing with Loki upstairs is he chews on people because he's teething. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have done a lot of things with putting toys in his mouth and, you know, letting him know that that's not the right thing to do, but not aggressively.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you don't want to use punishment or any type of aversive methods such as yelling, hitting, you know, choke collars, prong collars, e-collars, none of that type stuff. You can easily work with your dog you want to teach them what to do, okay? And then a huge part of it also is management, setting them up for success. You know, like with the puppy that is upstairs, the best thing you can do for teething is one, give them stuff to chew on besides your body, but don't when you're playing with him, a lot of people make the mistake of using your hands. And so the puppy will play with the hands and start biting the hands. But also the only thing you have to do is get up and walk away when he starts mouthing. That's all you have to do. And then the puppy learns, oh, when I do that, they leave.
there are things that are really simple and sort of common sense, but I think people just sometimes don't know those things and they can cause problems later on. So what do? You have this puppy or dog that is showing, has had a bad life. You know, you have no idea what they've been through, and they're starting to show aggression towards people. What are the best things that you can do when, so let's say a puppy is 6 months old to a year, to start calming those things and training the dog not to do that?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is get a trainer.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. I know a lot about dogs, but I would always use a trainer.
Yeah, and use a trainer that does positive reinforcement. You know, really vet your trainers to make sure, you know, they coincide with your type of, you know, how you want to have a relationship with your dog. But the first thing you want to do is not to punish them for what they're doing, because what they're doing is they're communicating, I am uncomfortable with this situation and I need to move away from it. So understanding dog body language is so important. And, you know, them behaving the way they're behaving is for a purpose. And they're telling you they need to get away from this thing is worrying me. And that's how they say it. So the best thing you can do, you know, until you get a trainer on board, is just to give distance from those triggers and create positive associations. So let's say you're walking your dog and they're, you know, they're aggressive toward other dogs. The thing you want to do is walk your dog where it's really quiet, where they're not going to see very many dogs. As soon as they see a dog, give distance and start treating. Because what you're doing is creating a positive association with, oh, a dog appears, good things happen. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the dog is gone, you stop treating.
I've done that with dogs.
Yeah. So that's just one tiny little example. It sounds really simple, but there's a lot of science behind it and stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of science and stuff behind dog behavior. So it's really important to understand why your dog is doing what they're doing and have the tools to do it.
Also, you can, one of the things that I tell people is use the internet. Get out there and Google the things that you're worried about. There's actually a Facebook page for people who have adopted animals that have come directly from puppy mills. And there's just individuals talking to each other, trying to figure out what to do if there's a problem. So, and there are some things you can expect with a dog that might have come from something like a puppy mill. They don't know how to walk on grass, number one. Mm-hmm. It's all about the humans, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I would, one thing, Googling stuff is good, but just be careful about that because there's some really bad stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And the industry for dog, you know, anything dog related is not regulated. So people can say whatever they want without any science to back it up. And so yes, there's some good support groups. Just make sure you're finding some good ones.
Yeah, and research. You know, if somebody says, oh, you should do this with your dog, research that with experts and say, you know, is this really something that I should do? So, and don't just take somebody's word for it that that's the thing that you want to do. And rely on your veterinarian as well.
Right.
To make sure the dog is healthy. And is many times I've found dogs that have had physical problems that have come out in a behavioral way, and until those physical problems were fixed, they just couldn't deal with any kind of training.
Yeah, and that's one of the first things we look at if a dog is displaying sudden change in behavior. We always get a medical check to make sure there's nothing physically, medically wrong with them. So that's always a really important aspect to look at.
Okay, great. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to tell us about training and rescues and your experiences?
Gosh, I would just say, you know, things to consider when going to a rescue. To find a dog to add to your family. So I have some statistics here. Some dogs are, what's the word I'm looking for?
Returned.
Given to shelters.
Oh, okay.
You know, dogs are surrendered to shelters typically due to behavior issues, which is 30%. Okay. Moving is 21%. Owner illness is 9%. unwanted litter of puppies is 5%. Dog illness is 4%, and then the other is 12%. So just dogs that were taught like basic commands by owners were less likely to be surrendered. So if you just take the time to work with your dog in a fun, pleasant way, that can just decrease the possibility of dogs being surrendered. But things to consider when you're going to a rescue is the dog might not be showing their true personality when you go there because they're stressed. It's a stressful environment. So just keep that in mind. Get a complete history form. When you go to the shelter, make sure you get a complete history form with anything medical, behavioral, anything like that, so you know what you're getting into. Ask about any behavior issues and how you can get help from them. There's a lot of rescues that can give you advice or refer out to trainers or give you some great resources to kind of get you going. Bring your whole family to meet the dog. Okay, so bring the kids, bring the other dog. You know, that way you know how the dog is going to respond for the most part.
And bring the dad, because many dogs that have been surrendered are afraid of men. So you want to make sure the dog and the dad get along really well.
Right. Yeah, take advantage of the shelter resources that they have. And ask, you know, once again, why the dog was surrendered. That'll give you kind of a good history. And then just sometimes knowing that the dog picks you is is important too, because you might be looking, oh, we want this, and then this other dog is like, no, you really want me.
Yeah, I'm totally not what you thought of. But well, that's what happened to me with Timmy the Chihuahua. Is I was living with friends and we had just lost our pug Millie, really sad situation, and about 4 months later my friend said, I really want another dog. And I said, anything but a Chihuahua. Anything. So I come home one afternoon and there she is on the couch with a Chihuahua. It's just like, oh geez. But Tim slept with me. His name is Tiny Tim. And he slept with me the first night and we bonded so incredibly. I just believe that it took him a long time to find me, but I'm the person he was looking for. He's like a soulmate. So never say never. If you do, you're probably going to get that. So.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Christy, for talking with us. I'm sure we're going to have you back because there are all sorts of training issues that we need to cover. And thanks. Take care and have a really good, and I'll see you at 11:30. So.
Okay.
11:45. All right.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. That is Pet Talks, and we are going to be coming to you with other questions and other answers and other experts in a little while. Please tell your friends about this, and we really want to make the world a better and bigger place for dogs and cats and all domestic animals. Thanks a lot.
Darling companion, come on and give me understanding, and let me be your champion, the hand to warm your pretty hand in. Darling companion, now you know you'll never be abandoned. Love will always light our land, and I can depend on you.